Legal analyst Mike Monaco makes his triumphant return to this program.
Thank God. We've missed you, Mike. Huh. Where have you been?
I was in Cuba.
Oh,
Cuba was interesting.
He was trying to free Raul Castro.
Yeah.
Before we get to what we're talking about here, how did you find Cuba? Other than a map?
we went with a bunch of criminal defense lawyers from around the country. It was interesting. People were very, very pleasant, very proud. But the country is not prepared for tourism. Not at all. And the sewer system isn't prepared.
What is it? Yeah. How did you know that?
Sounds terrible.
Well, they tell you you're not supposed to use the sewers, the toilet.
Flush the toilet?
Flush a toilet with toilet paper.
You got to put the toilet paper like in a basket or something?
Exactly.
Oh, in Greece, parts of Greece, they do this. It's not fun.
There you go.
What does one...
There you go. Forget that.
Do they cover that in any way?
There's something to cover it, but the country's just not ready. Everything needs painting, everything needs repair. The hotel we were in was not ready. It looks like ever since the Russians left about 20 years ago, there's been no money in Cuba. There is no everybody's working, but they're all making like $20 to $40 a month. The folks who make the most money are the cab drivers.
So you still felt a sense of poverty.
Sense of very, very serious sense of poverty, yeah. Mm. But as I say, everyone's very, very proud. They're very, you know, of the revolution, and they still talk about it.
The revolution!
Every day.
We come out, flush our toilet!
I know, but they really need America to drop the embargo.
The imperialist pig must fix our plumbing!
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, the guy that talked to us, he said a week earlier, I was just talking to the mayor of Chicago. Because Rahm was there.
Oh, of course.
Flushing his toilet either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know how he remember he had to come back to deal with the shooting, the Christmas Day shooting?
Right, exactly.
And,
he might have been happy.
He probably was like, yeah, kids.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I got to
go back.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you get into the, out into the Hemingway area
there?
We
saw Hemingway's house, and we saw a village where Hemingway...
like the old man in the sea village?
Yes, exactly, yeah. which he frequented, where they have a little memorial for him. Mm-hmm. And there were thousands of pieces of garbage on the beachside. And like nothing is, because no one owns it. Nobody owns the property. Nobody's there fixing it. And it's really a shame because I'll show you a picture of it. It's just terrible. There's literally acres of waste. Along the beach.
Oh, that's sad.
It's terrible. And that's the village that they took us to.
What kind of waste, though? What do you mean waste?
Plastic.
Oh, like just garbage.
Garbage, yeah. Everything was terrible. Terrible.
Did you get any cigars, and how was the food?
I did get some cigars. Food was okay.
Can you bring the cigars back?
You can. You can bring $100 worth of them back. We have chicken, fish, and we have pork. That's what you'll get at every meal. Chicken, fish, and pork. And that's what we got at every... lunch and dinner was chicken, fish, and pork.
Did anybody get sick on the trip?
Yes,
I've heard that.
Oh, no.
People got real sick.
Immensely. The one thing about going down there is that it's, you know, like Mexico in the old days, Mexico not so much anymore, although people can see, depending on where you go in Mexico, there's, you know, different water supplies and food safety and all that sort of stuff. It can be questioned, but most of the resort communities, the big cities like Cancun or Puerto Vallarta, places like that, Cabo, places that have a lot of international tourism, they've cleaned all that up. Cuba hasn't had any of this.
Right. No, they're about to have these huge cruise ships come in, and they're not ready for them. I'll tell you right now.
And people did get massively sick?
People got hospitalized.
Really?
Yeah.
On your trip? How many people were on your trip?
74.
And how did you go? How did you get there?
Flew to Miami and then spent the night in Miami, then flew the next day on a
charter jet.
Charter jet.
Yeah.
And
it's like 20 minutes or something.
American Airlines. Yeah, it's a half an hour, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you learn about the criminal justice system when you were there?
I did. We spoke to some law professors. It was very good. What's interesting? Get off the plane there from Miami, and all the Cubans have television sets from America that they're bringing back to Cuba. And they're all wrapped up in those blue plastic wrappings that they have at the airport.
Like flat screens?
Yeah.
Exactly. Huge flat screens.
Flat screens.
Huge flat
Cuba.
Screens. Exactly. Anyway.
Do they have cell phones? Do people? there?
They do. I couldn't use mine because I had AT&T, but apparently folks
who another imperialist pig company, AT&T.
Folks who had Verizon could use theirs, I think. I couldn't use mine.
Wasn't there?
Only one bar.
Wasn't there AT&T? Wasn't there? He should have been there with Hyman Roth when they're passing the gold telephone around.
Well, we were in the hotel that
El Presidente or whatever.
Well, the Nacional was
Nacional,
the big
right?
One.
Yeah,
I was in the Hilton because we had too many people for the Nacional. In the Hilton, they have pictures of Fidel talking to his group from the balcony. Within the lobby of the Hilton,
right, just like the scene,
New Year's scene from the movie,
yeah.
Just like the scene from the movie.
Oh, God,
yeah. It was bizarre.
So they're not ready. In other words, what you're telling me is that they are definitely not ready.
They're not ready, but they definitely need to have the embargo lifted because they've got nothing. Mm. There's nothing going on.
It's beyond third world. I mean, if you go to the Caribbean can be pretty.
The Caribbean's got huge, beautiful hotels.
Right, but
this place doesn't.
That's the thing. Is it that Caribbean? Even when you're driving around, like you know, let's face it. When you land on some of these Caribbean islands and you're driving from the airport to your beautiful luxury hotel, it can be a pretty depressing thing. You're saying the entire country's like that.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying it's depressing, I think it's depressing, but it's not. They're very proud and they're very happy.
Oh, I would not be good with this.
I know. I'm not sure.
People keep saying to me, too, you got to go to Cuba. It's culturally so interesting.
Not yet. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I hear people get food poisoning down there. I don't want to go.
The toilet situation sort of is tough to get past, too, I would think.
Yeah. Well, they're just starting to redo some of the old Havana.
Old Havana
issues. Some of the blocks are being rebuilt, you know, the old buildings are being
and they're restoring them, right? Because there's it's one of the last great mission
right
architecture cities left where it's original to the Spaniards and
those parts were nice, you know, they're very nice, but they're not ready. They need a lot of help.
Poor Mike, he's still struck by it.
That's not why we call. We want to talk about AT&T, but or not AT&T. We want to talk about Apple.
AT&T's got a big problem. No, excuse me. Apple is now appealing the magistrate judge's order, making them do something that possibly never has been ordered by any company in America before. Under the All Writs Act, they are being required to provide reasonable technical assistance to law enforcement. That's what the All Writs Act requires you to do. In this case, what that means is that the FBI is asking or demanding that Apple create an encryption device that will allow the FBI to view the phone of the fellow from the San Bernardino terrorist attack. And the Apple's claiming that it is that they don't even own doesn't even hold the key
software,
to unlock it. They don't even hold the key to unlock it. They're going to have to create it
right
out of whole cloth. Now,
they claim that, and I mean, who am I to question Apple?
The fine people from Apple.
Yes, but one would guess that all it is it's a bypass of
it's
actually whatever character code that you use to get into your phone.
Right.
And that is, you know, to bypass basically your password to get in your phone, your pass numbers to get in your phone. And it seems to me that is probably doable. But I don't, you know, what do I know? But I would think that that's probably
The FBI already had changed the password on this phone. Had they not changed it, Apple probably could have helped them. But the fact that they changed it now requires Apple to create this device.
Well, they changed it did they change it or did they attempt it so many times that it locked the phone down?
My understanding is they changed it. They created a different password. Now,
they can't remember their own password. They're like me.
Right.
So the issue is this. The Apple's claiming that if they create this device, this is going to create a Pandora's box of problems that if this such a device becomes out there in the world, that every phone in America and in the world is going to be subject to being encrypted and being searched.
If they invent this, then it could potentially fall into the wrong hands.
Exactly.
Is their argument.
Right.
But I mean,
so you'd think maybe the judge could have an order saying Apple can't give it to any, or the FBI can't give it away, and Apple can't give it away. But once Apple creates it and loses possession of it, then Apple's concerned that they don't have possession of it, and it's not up to us.
Well, why can't Apple just open the phone and then destroy it?
Apple CEO Tim Cook said that it's impossible for them to create a backdoor that only accesses one phone. They have to build software, as we said, that doesn't exist, that could then be misused. Because when you have a backdoor that's established, it's not just good guys that can get in a backdoor. Hackers of all sorts suddenly have this new opportunity to then enter through the backdoor.
Isn't this basically a tempest in a teapot, though? Wouldn't they then have to create a something that would defeat the backdoor? I mean, isn't this – I mean, this happens all day long with international hacking.
But this is the risk that the Apple's talking about. Once they do create this new effort, a new method, new device that will encrypt this this phone, that will open up the possibility of that – new device being used elsewhere.
Understood.
And that's the problem.
Can't they then make another device that defeats that device?
That's unknown. I mean,
Apple. They wear those black mock turtlenecks. They stand around their blue jeans.
They're the smartest guys in the room, for sure. Yeah. But it just, and it seems like the FBI should be able to get in, shouldn't they? I mean, they should be able to create the software, and maybe it's a little troubling that they can't.
I mean, the other funny thing, I mean, in search warrants around the world, excuse me, in America, search warrants, they get you to turn over stuff you have. No search warrant says you have to make something. Like, for example, if they search your home row and look for a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm. This week, you mean?
For instance.
stuff, they can't make you create a document row in your house.
Right.
The FBI cannot make you do that. The government cannot make you do that. Here, what they're saying, not only are they making you create something, they're making you create not just a document, making you create
an invention.
Yeah. Right.
They have to invent something.
That is really a risky thing to create because of the issues. Now, the FBI says that Apple is wildly mischaracterizing the directive by the
I think they are. Judge. Well, I kind of agree with them on that because I think what they're arguing here is that they don't want to create this backdoor, which they invented the software to begin with, so they do understand how it's defeatable. Right.
Sure.
So the idea is that they don't want to create this thing that potentially could get out. And I get that. And they're saying that that's bad for everybody who has an Apple phone or device or whatever, because they have been fairly impenetrable. That's the interesting thing about it.
Let me say this. Apple has cooperated with the FBI throughout this. Up to now.
Understood.
Now, the other thing is the FBI says they don't know what's on this phone.
Right. There may be nothing that
helps
them.
Maybe nothing on the phone. So there's no probable cause to believe that there's anything on the phone that is of any help.
But they don't want to be in a situation, though, where they're leaving a key piece of evidence that could lead to some sort of mass attack. Although there doesn't seem to be
any
relationship between these two people who seem to be self-radicalized.
Right.
And there's been a few contacts between Grand Poobas, but they already know who those guys are.
Plus, this was the work phone. So you wonder if there'd be less data on this pertaining to their activities and what they plan.
It's hard to say. I mean, the FBI, of course, they're saying, you know, we don't we don't want to leave any stone unturned. Exactly right. So,
all right.
What do I know?
I didn't know my iPhone was this secure. I had no idea.
When Donald Trump is president, this is
that'll change everything.
Going to change. That's right, Michael.
You'll be
Monaco.
Safer. I'll tell you that for sure.
And it's going to be
especially you and the 1%.
I'm going to be safer, and it's going to be fantastic, and you're going to love it.
Yeah.
This torture thing I've got going, it's going to be great. You're going to love the torture.
Build a wall. They can torture the Apple people.
They'll build a wall all the way to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Trump says that, I'll be okay with that until they get the food poisoning problem worked out there and all the poo water issues. I'd be okay with all that. But, Raina, thank you, Michael. I appreciate
Thanks, Michael
it.
Monaco.